Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Well, you're probably reading it in newsprint, seeing it on social media, seeing it on television, and everything this week, because we're leading up to the landing on the moon, Apollo 11. Well, I'm going to let you know that I taught a course on Earth-Sun-Moon relationships, and I know quite a bit about it. But as usual, I am the research guy, and I found out some of the coolest facts. So here's the deal. I'm going to start out with a number of facts that you already know, some of the stories behind the scenes of these astronauts, and then from there, I will get into the actual moon landing and what it took to get there and get home. So on July 20th, 1969, at 4:17 p.m., we actually landed on the moon. The commander, Neil Armstrong. The module pilot was Buzz Aldrin, and I got a cool Buzz Aldrin story for you in a little bit. And the command module pilot was Mike Collins. Now think about this. We had orbited the Earth, and I'm going to get to the reasons why we actually went to the moon in a few, but here's a couple of the cool facts. We went 240,000 miles in 76 hours, and people think about, hey, we were on the moon, and they think about this real long time. The two astronauts, Armstrong and Aldrin, were only on the moon for 21 hours and 38 minutes. And at 4:18, you heard those words, the Eagle has landed. And at 10:56 p.m., you heard Armstrong when he stepped out to be the first American, first person ever on the moon. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And those words are some of the greatest words we've ever heard. So let's talk about, well, why did we go to the moon? Way back when, there was the Cold War between the U.S. and Russia. It was like, if we were blue, you were red. If you were red, we were green. Like, there could be no agreement on anything. Well, Russia's space program was on target to get to the moon. So they were going to be the first people to get to the moon, first country to get to the moon, put their flag up on the moon. Well, President Kennedy in the early 60s, he came out with a speech, and it's a powerful speech, and you might see clips of it, but and you guys know by now, you could YouTube anything in the wide world. You need to YouTube, not now, because you need to listen to this story about it, but you need to YouTube President Kennedy's speech. But he said, by the end of the decade, we will put a man on the moon. And our space program was not laughable, but it just wasn't good at this point. But he put all the top physicists together at NASA to build a great space program. Well, there were these rockets that were being used at the time, and there were three-stage rockets filled with fuel. The ultimate goal of these rockets was to get up to speed. And get up to speed meant to go to 24,000 miles per hour. And you go, well, how do you really get there? Well, the amount of fuel, most of the fuel was to get this rocket up and into space and get it to speed because, you see, there is no friction in space. So the movement of going 24,000 miles an hour was the energy actually to get it home, and that was really important. So there was the capsule, and Mike Collins was inside of it, and then there was a lunar excursion model, commonly called the LEM, and in capital letters, L-E-M, and the LEM had Armstrong and Aldrin, and that's the part that actually went to the moon. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the, we'll just say this, I'm going to get to why it was so difficult to get to the moon. But first, this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, think about this. At this juncture in the 60s, our computers, if you had a home computer, there's no such thing as it, but if you had a computer, The computer was the size of three refrigerators. No exaggeration. Now, we had to create a computer that was the size of a laptop. So you say, and today you go, oh, we have these little cell phones, which are basically little mini computers if you don't realize it. And they were taking three refrigerators down to a laptop. And there were so many wires that went on, and they had to figure out exactly how to do it. Now watch how crazy this is. They took seamstresses, people that sew, because they were so able to, you know, put together small wires. And the seamstresses sewed the wires, putting so much of this together. Now you needed to put together a team on the ground to be able to get the guys to the moon, on the moon, and home. And one of the comments from one of the commanders there on the ground said, it was easier to put astronauts in space than to assemble a team to put them there. Now, if you think about it, that is a really cool comment. And once again, I'm sure you've seen a photo of NASA's room with all those engineers, physicists, all sitting there. One of the key ones was from MIT, who created the actual computer system for it. And I just went into a little bit of it. So let's talk about, hey, we are now going to the moon. So now you've got the capsule and the LEM, and they're going to break apart. Well, Mike Collins is going to continue to orbit around the moon at 24,000 miles per hour. Couldn't slow down and needed to just maintain that speed because that was the speed to get home. He was then going to break apart, and now all of a sudden we were going to have two men going to the moon. So they land there, and here's one of the, again, I told you some tough parts. It was supposed to be automated that it would land. Well, some of that, and they were about to abort the moon landing at this point because the controls were not working. And Armstrong took over and manually, think about this, in 1969, manually landed the LEM on the moon. And that was down literally to minutes to make that decision, do we land or not? And they did. And there's a reason why Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong were selected. They were men of courage, men of honor. All the things going on you see in today's society, these were guys that you wanted role models for your children. And Buzz Aldrin, he is actually from Montclair, New Jersey. And I was coaching a spell, and I actually had a cover for a soccer team in the winter. And the team was actually training. They renamed the school in the Buzz Aldrin Middle School. And I had to go there once a week. And as I came to the school, it was after school time, as I came to the school, I went in, I actually introduced myself to the principal, so she knew who I was, introduced myself to her secretary, knew I was going to be in the school. And every week, I would feed them a moon fact. I'd walk in, secretary with a big old smile on her face, knowing that the fact was coming, the principal, the fact was coming. So I just thought I'd share that with you as well. Now, they land on the moon. We have Neil Armstrong coming out first, and you go, well, why are the photos a little grainy? Well, they had cameras mounted actually on the LEM, and Armstrong pulled one, we'll call it like a little ripcord, and that one was recording him. And eventually they set up another camera on the moon. And the way I describe that one is, think about this. That was the first camcorder. Now you're recording with your cell phones and you're getting some brilliant pictures. This is nice. So like one of the first camcorders on the moon. Then Buzz Aldrin comes down and Neil Armstrong says to him, he goes, Buzz, watch out for that last step. You see, when they built the ladder to come out, they were expecting the actual LEM with the moon dust. They were actually expecting it to, you know, the LEM to compact into the moon. And it didn't go down as far into the moon as they thought it was, because the LEM engine blew away most of the dust as they were landing. And you'll see some video of that. And they're landing, and you'll hear Armstrong say to Aldrin, make sure you watch out for that last step. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he was saying. And Buzz Aldrin, for those of you that have watched the movie Toy Story, now you know where Buzz Lightyear comes from. Yeah, that's where it is. Now, they went up there to put a flag on the moon. And, you know, you got these conspiracy theorists going, well, they never really, it's like a bunch of garbage, because obviously we have all this video footage. And when they put the flag on the moon, it looks like the flag is waving. And the reason why, because you go, well, how could it be waving? There's no weather up there. There's no weather, so there's no wind up there. Well, they actually had a wired flag, so that's why it looks like it's blowing in the breeze. I'll talk to you about the rock samples that they brought back in a little bit. So here's the deal. By this time, President Nixon was obviously the president at the time. He was going to meet them when they made their splashdown, and I'll get to that one second. But what would happen if Armstrong and Aldrin died on the moon? Well, Mike Collins said it was going to be the most difficult task ever for him if they either died on the moon or couldn't get that limb off the moon, because he had to go home. And he said he would have been, think about this, he would have been a marked man for the rest of their lives. Well, President Nixon had to plan what happens if they died on the moon. And I actually have a copy of his speech here, and I'm just going to read to you a few lines. But he had a speech written for when they were successful, and obviously we know it was a success, but what happens if they had died up there? And this is the first few lines of that speech. Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace. These brave men, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin, know that there is no hope for their recovery. But they also know that there is hope for mankind and their sacrifice. These two men are laying down their lives in mankind's most noble goal, the search for truth and understanding. And it goes on to talk about the mourning and family and friends, etc. So yeah, you have that, all of that. But it was a success. Now think about this one. They were going to have to actually come back, link up. So here they are. They're taking up off the moon. Collins is still going 24,000 miles an hour, and now the limb, or the top part of the limb, because it broke apart, the bottom piece stayed there, so we actually had extra tools and things that were on the moon. So they had to link up with Collins going 24,000 miles an hour, and if they didn't link up perfectly, Collins was still going home. He had one chance. They had one chance to do this, and it was a perfect marriage, bang, and now they're off home. And as they're coming home and getting into the Earth's atmosphere, think about the speeds they're going. They had to slow it down. So these huge parachutes came out, and the parachutes slowed them down. But they still crashed into the ocean. The craft hits the ocean, goes underwater for, because you can think about the speed. Think about when you just jump off like a high dive and how deep you go. Now think about the speed of this craft going. And now it comes up, and it looks like these huge swimmies that are around it to keep it for two things. Keep it floating in the ocean, but also to keep it upright so the hatch door could be opened. And they were plucked out one at a time via helicopter and a little basket. And they were brought on ship. And let me tell you a little bit about what went on, and here are some of those cool facts. Well, you think about, like, in today's society, you win a championship and you're on a Wheaties box and you're going to Disneyland and all this. They get out, and we had no idea if they were going to bring back like a foreign disease, like what could be on the moon. So they were actually quarantined for 21 days, meaning that as soon as when they landed, they took off their spacesuits, put on another suit called Biggs, and they put those suits on. And they were brought into, it looked like a huge Winnebago. And one of the doctors, who obviously at this point, because we didn't know, was risking his life because he was going to do all the tests on them. So they actually landed and went inside this Winnebago on the ship. And that's where President Nixon, in a positive tone, thanked them for all that they had done. Well, the splashdown happened to be in the Pacific Ocean because of the depth of the ocean. That was one of them. And that was on July 24th. They brought back 47 pounds of rocks. And we knew this, but we were, again, because we weren't 100% sure until they actually got there, most of the rocks were igneous rocks. And we could talk about the theory of the Earth-Sun-Moon relationships and all of that. And there was a few sedimentary in there, but 99% of them were igneous. The computer that landed on Apollo 11 was as powerful as a contemporary pocket calculator. Think about that. Now, here are two of the cool facts. Footprints are still there because there's no wind and there's no weather. Now, how crazy of a fact is this? The moon has its own time zone. That is so cool. The Apollo landing, we are so proud of our history of these athletes, and astronauts for all that they did for our country and the pride and the glory they did for the old Gouda, old USA. It has been a great show today. I love sharing all of this information, these facts. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.